Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am thrilled and honored to be here to help celebrate the UNI class of 2011. So congratulations to you all on making it to this day. We are so proud of you. Now, before I get started, I wanted to let you know that if my remarks run a little long, I promise that we'll take a break, crank up the music for the interlude dance. I've been practicing the ninja robot move to get it just right. In all seriousness, I want to thank President Allen for that very kind introduction, as well as Executive Vice President and Provost Gloria Gibson, the Board of Regents, President David Miles, all of the members of the Board of Regents, and of course, Katie Burke for her beautiful speech. Let's give them all a hand. And there are a few other people I want to thank. Congressman Bruce Braley, former Governor Chet Culver, Cedar Falls Mayor John Cruz, and Waterloo Mayor Buck Clark. They're all here to say thank you so much. And finally, I want to say a special thank you to everyone here in the Unidome, especially all of you who changed your plans so that we could celebrate our graduates together today. So thank you all. Now, as many of you know, this is not my first time here in Iowa. In fact, it feels like I've spent more time in this state than in anywhere besides my home state of Illinois and, of course, Washington, D.C. My family was here a lot back in 2007, long enough for my husband to have a sculpture of his head made out of butter, yes. But while a campaign is what initially brought me to Iowa, what brings me back today is something so much bigger, much deeper, so much more personal to me. See, believe it or not, this state and the people that I've met here and the things that I've learned here have all become a very important part of my own personal journey. Now, I have to admit that back when I first started coming here, I was pretty nervous. I mean, most folks barely knew who my husband was, let alone who I was. And I was still a bit uneasy about the whole president thing, as our daughter Maria used to call it. I didn't know what a run would do to our family or how it would affect our girls. I'd never been to Iowa before, and I had no idea how folks would react to a perfect stranger waltzing into their kitchens and their living rooms. So I didn't know what to expect. But soon, you all showed me exactly what makes Iowa such a special place. And I will always remember this one gathering in Sioux City back in the early days. We were all at this beautiful home. It was a gorgeous day, so we were all sitting out in the backyard, and folks of all ages were sitting on lawn chairs and in the grass. And even though not one single person there had ever met me before, I was warmly welcomed, like an old friend. So we just started to talk to one another about our lives and our experiences, and the more we talked, the more my fears and apprehensions started to fade away. And I realized something important, that these folks weren't strangers at all. They reminded me of my parents, my aunts and uncles, the neighborhood kids from down the block. I just felt at home. So at home, in fact, that I remember I kicked off my high heels. I started walking around barefoot in the grass. Felt pretty good. And that's how I wound up feeling just about everywhere I went throughout this state. Though, for the record, I kept my shoes on most of the time. And it wasn't just how folks here treated me. It was how they treated my whole family. In Pella, an entire neighborhood sang happy birthday to Malia on the 4th of July. At the state fair, y'all poked fun at Barack when he lost a carnival game. It's pretty funny. I'll never forget how people looked after our girls, encouraging them to play and jump on the trampoline with their kids or play in the park. They welcomed us into their homes in Perry and Cedar Rapids, at coffee shops in Waukee and Oskaloosa, and the Historical Society right here in Cedar Falls. Now, these communities may not have been exactly like the one I grew up in, and the folks I met may not have come from exactly the same background as me, but the more that I shared my story with all of you and you shared your stories with me, the more I realized that what truly connects us is our shared values. In the end, there is so much more that unites us than divides us. And that's really what I want to talk with all of you about today. I want to talk about those values, the values you've learned here at UNI, the values you've learned growing up and spending time here in Iowa, and how those values will serve you every step of the way on the journey ahead. And the first value I want to discuss is in many ways the most important, but often taken for granted. And that is the power of family. Now, this is something that all you folks here in Iowa understand in your bones, to your core, just listening to Katie. I saw it everywhere I went. Strong, connected families that looked out for each other and supported each other through good times and bad. And I can tell you from my own experience that nothing else in your life, nothing, not your job, not your hobby, not the money in your bank account, nothing will sustain you like family. When I was growing up, we might not have had much, but my family was and still is my rock. I was raised in modest means, probably like many of you. We lived on the top floor of a two-family home on the south side of Chicago. My dad worked in the boiler room of the city water plant. My mom stayed at home until my brother and I reached high school, and then she took a job as a secretary. In our household, we had rules, we did our chores, we minded our Q's, and yes, we ate our P's. And while we had our share of struggle and heartache, we sure did laugh a lot. And we loved each other more than I could ever put in words. And even though those times might seem far away, even though my father has passed, my brother lives 3,000 miles away, the bonds that we formed in that teeny little apartment still connect us. They are and will always be my core and my compass in life. So graduates, after this ceremony is over, I want you to hug the folks up in these stands just a little harder. And then make sure you call them next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that, right? Moms and dads and grandparents, because these are the folks who made you who you are. These are the folks who will stand by you no matter what life throws your way. These are the folks who prepared you to succeed here at UNI and who prepared you to contribute to your communities and to your country. And that leads me to the second value I want to discuss, and another thread which is woven throughout this university and this state. And that is the value of service to others. And the truth is, many of you could be giving this part of my speech yourselves because you've been living this value every day of your lives. During the floods of 2008, so many of you were out there sandbagging. After the tornado, you went over to Parkersburg to provide all kinds of relief services to the victims there. There were the Volunteer Tuesdays where many of you served at agencies like the Salvation Army and the Northeast Iowa Food Bank. And students here have stepped up to serve our country and wear its uniform at a time when we're asking so much of our troops and their families. And that includes four members of this class who were commissioned as second lieutenants in the U.S. Army just this morning. And I am so proud of them and so proud that so many of you have stepped up to support them. You've already launched a veteran student organization. You're putting together a website to connect military students to UNI resources. You're working with the VA to provide matching funds to help vets cover tuition and fees if they need it. And I encourage all of you, no matter where you go in life, keep doing that. Keep honoring our troops and their families. Because we've all seen just in the last week how much these folks deserve our support. I mean, just imagine a small group of brave men dropped by helicopter, half a world away in the dead of night, into unknown danger inside the lair of the most wanted man in the world. They did not hesitate, risking everything for us, for our freedom and security. And they did it not just as Navy SEALs, they did it as husbands, as fathers, as sons. Their families were back here with no idea of their mission or whether their loved ones would ever come home. Now that's the very essence of the word service. And the least we can do is give something back to these troops and their families who've given us so much. Now, I've seen again and again that giving back, that serving others, just helps keep everything in perspective. Service is what connects us to one another, to our neighbors and our communities and our country. It reminds us that we are not simply individuals living isolated lives, but we're all woven together. So graduates, I hope that you all keep finding new ways that you can make that kind of impact. Now, in my life, I found that helping military families is just one way that resonates with me. It's one of my many passions, and it's driven me to start a nationwide effort called Joining Forces to honor these military families. This passion keeps me going every day, knowing that I'm part of something so much bigger, so much more important than just my own individual wants and needs. And that's the third value I hope that you will all embrace. To find that passion within yourself and follow it wherever it takes you. And with all of the classes and the extracurricular activities and the experiences that you've had over the last 4 years, this university has given you so many chances to discover that passion. But understand that the process of discovery doesn't stop when you leave this campus. And I know that from my own experience. Back when I graduated from college a very long time ago, I was certain that I wanted to be a lawyer. So I did everything I was supposed to do. I got my law degree. I went home and got a job at a big fancy firm in Chicago. By all appearances, I was living the dream. But the truth is, all the while that I was climbing, I knew something was missing. Sure, I was working up in a tall building downtown, but when I looked out across the skyline of the city, even though I could see the community I had come from way off in the distance, I was so far up, so far away that I couldn't feel that community. I felt like I was beginning to lose that connection to where I'd come from, and I realized I didn't want to climb anymore. I wanted to be grounded, working with the folks that I knew, folks like the ones I grew up with. I wanted to be mentoring young people. I wanted to be helping families put food on the table and a roof over their heads. I wanted to be giving folks the same kind of chances that I'd had. So I did something that shocked my friends and my family and added about a decade onto my student loan debt. I quit that job. Yes, crazy me. I left that high-paying firm to go work for the city government. From there, I moved on to lead a nonprofit organization called Public Allies, helping other young people pursue public service careers. I wasn't making nearly as much money, and my office wasn't nearly as big or nice, but I was working with terrific young people and colleagues who inspired me. I found that I would wake up every day with excitement, a sense of purpose and possibility, because I was finally doing something that made me feel fully alive. And graduates, that's what I wish for all of you today, for you to find that career, that calling that makes you feel fully alive. Now, I know that your passions may not be the same as mine. That's fine. You may feel most alive in front of a classroom, maybe a boardroom, or even in one of those high-rise office buildings. But no matter what it is, keep that fire burning. And it won't always be easy. The path won't always be laid out neatly for you. Sometimes you won't be able to find that perfect job. Sometimes you might have to take a job just to stay afloat. Those are the realities of life. But no matter what you do from 9 to 5, know that you should always try to find some way to pursue what you love. Maybe it's a hobby that one day becomes your own business. Maybe it's some volunteer work that helps you develop new skills and passions. And you will have false starts and setbacks along the way. That is for sure. But I promise you that if you keep listening to yourself and keep yourself open to new possibilities and new people and new ways of thinking, you will find a place in this world that feels right for you. And that openness, that willingness to be exposed to new people and experiences, that is the final value that I want to discuss today. And this is something that I think truly defines the state of Iowa and its people. You all don't rush to judgment. You'll give just about anyone a respectful hearing. That was certainly my experience. People didn't know a thing about me yet. They listened. They were curious. They asked questions. They gave me the benefit of the doubt and a chance to show who I was. And that's because people here in Iowa understand that everyone has something to offer. Just think about your classmates here at UNI. While you all might look similar today in your black robes, very distinguished, I know that there is a kaleidoscope of talents and passions and experiences with which you've enriched each other these past 4 years. We just met Darian Watson from Gary. He's the first person in his family to go to college, and he's inspired his older siblings to think about getting their degrees. We've got graduates like Ashley Pesca from Martell, Iowa, who works tirelessly across the state to raise awareness for people with muscular dystrophy. We've got graduates like Renee Rapier, a singer from Marion, Iowa, who's won opera awards all across the country, even being invited by one of the 3 tenors to sing in Los Angeles. We've got graduates like Nadine Ishimwe, who survived the Rwandan genocide as a child, came to Cedar Falls 4 years ago when she couldn't even read, write, or speak English. Each of these students And every single one of you is unique in some way. Each of you has something different to teach the rest of us. And I would urge you to be curious about those who have experiences different from yours. Learn from them. Let their ideas and experiences challenge your own assumptions and perspectives. But at the end of the day, don't ever lose sight of what makes you unique. Don't ever stop believing in what you have to offer. Don't ever count yourself out. And if you ever do begin to doubt yourself, if you ever start to wonder whether you can fulfill all those dreams, I want you to think of two words that showed this country that young people here at you and I have got what it takes. Those two words, Ali Farouk Manesh. You have to explain that to everyone here who doesn't get it. And then I want you to think about all those other men and women who have come before you. The very long list of distinguished alumni who have sat where you're sitting today. People like Molly Boyle, Iowa's Teacher of the Year. Chuck Grassley, a six-term U.S. Senator. The first African-American principal in Iowa, Walter Cunningham. Nancy Powell, the Director General of the United States Foreign Services. And then there's Nancy Ossie. Now, Nancy grew up in Cedar Rapids, dreaming of faraway countries and people. She got her BA and her MBA at UNI in the early 80s and then took a job selling phones. She went out to California where she heard about a small startup nonprofit called International Medical Corps, an organization that worked in some of those faraway lands responding to emergencies, helping local residents become self-reliant. She asked if they needed a volunteer, and as it turned out, they needed a CEO. So Nancy listened to her heart. She took over, and IMC took off. All told, they've directed more than $1 billion in assistance and training worldwide. They've touched millions of lives from Somalia to the Balkans to Haiti and Japan. And as CEO, Nancy has earned awards that put her in the company of presidents and generals, Nobel Prize recipients, and Oscar winners. Now, you might hear Nancy's story and think, wow, that's pretty cool. I could never do something like that. But if there's one thing I want you to leave with, it's this. This university and this state have given you everything you need to do something exactly like that. The values you've learned here, commitment to family, openness to diversity, willingness to serve community and country, the courage to follow your passion. These are the keys to success in any field. I guarantee you, they are the building blocks of a fulfilling life. They are the foundation of healthy families and vibrant communities, and yes, a strong country. And that's what I saw when I first started coming to Iowa. And graduates, that's why I wanted to come back. I wanted to remind you what makes you special and so very unique. I want you to realize the power and value of your experience here in this state. I want you to feel the strength of this place that so many of you call home. And I want you and need you to carry the values that you've learned here with you wherever you go. We need you to share those values with everyone you meet and pass them down onto your children and your grandchildren. Spread them throughout our country and throughout the world. And whether your next step is New York or New Hartford, whether you're looking for a job in Des Moines or New Delhi, I want you to truly believe that you can kick off your shoes and walk around in the grass anywhere in the world, because you can. So congratulations again, graduates. So proud of you. And Godspeed, and God bless you all on the road ahead. Take care.